الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، وإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. ثم أما بعد، فحياكم الله أبناءنا من المسلمين والمسلمات في مسجد السنة بفيلادلفيا وما ارتبط به من المساجد الأخرى، ومن يصل إليه حديثي عبر الشبكة العنقودية الإنترنت عن طريق الإخوة، أقول حياكم الله مرة أخرى. وحديثي معكم العنوان الإعلان يا شيخ حسن، إليكم أبنائي وبناتي عن مسألة مهمة عظيمة. ما من مسلم ولا مسلمة إلا وهو يحتاج إليها، أشد فيما أرى من حاجته إلى الطعام والشراب. وتلكم المسألة: كيف يجاهد المرء نفسه؟ هذا السؤال يدور في ذهن كل رجل وامرأة من المسلمين، والجواب ميسور يسير على من يسره الله عليه. وقبل أن أذكر الجواب على هذا السؤال، لا بد من مقدمة هي مدخل إليه وهي مفتاحه. أقول: النفوس ثلاث: مطمئنة ولوامة وأمارة. المطمئنة هي المنشرحة لفعل كل ما أمر الله به ورسوله، منقادة انقيادا تاما لذلك، كما أنها منشرحة لترك ما نهى الله عنه ورسوله. وفي هذا وهذا تتقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. وكذلك تصدق أخبار الله وأخبار رسوله، ولا يكن لديها شك في ذلك. ففعل الأوامر وترك النواهي وتصديق أخبار الله ورسوله حق. ولهذا كانت منقادة وشريحة موقنة راجية الزلفة أي القربة عند الله عز وجل، وهذه هي التي ذكرها الله تعالى في قوله: يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية، وهي التي يناديها ملك الموت حينما يحضر المرء أجله ويقعد عند رأسه فيقول: يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة اخرجي إلى مغفرة من الله ورضوانه، فتنسل كما تنسل الشعرة من العجينة فتخرج من فمه، لأنها بشرت برحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. الثانية اللوامة، وهي التي تلوم صاحبها على ترك ما ينبغي له فعله أو فعل ما ينبغي له تركه. لما فعلت كذا؟ كان ينبغي أن تفعل كذا. وهذه قريبة من الخير، وعلاجها سهل. الثالثة وهي أشد النفوس وأقوى، وهي عدوة الإنسان، هي مطية الشيطان، راحلة الشيطان، مركب الشيطان. نعم، وهذه الأمارة بالسوء. قال تعالى: إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء. وفي التي قبلها وهي اللوامة قال تعالى: لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. فإذا علم هذا بني وبناتي من المسلمين في أمريكا، كان انتقالنا إلى محل السؤال: كيف يجاهد المرء نفسه؟ أذكر هذا إجمالا، ثم يكون التفصيل إن شاء الله بعد الترجمة، ليعلم كل مسلم ومسلمة أن جهاد النفس له مراتب أربع: الأولى العلم، والثانية العمل، والثالثة الدعوة إلى الله، الرابعة.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع هداه وبعد. So the Sheikh حفظه الله تعالى شيخنا الوالد عبيد بن عبد الله الجابري حفظه الله تعالى, he started this lecture with mention of the خطبة الحاجة, which alhamdulillah is known to us بإذن الله تعالى, and he said to proceed, he offered his greetings to his children from the Muslim males and the Muslim females in Masjid al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah in the city of Philadelphia, and likewise the other masajid around the country that are listening to this lecture, participating with the masjid here, and anyone who is listening likewise via the internet. The Sheikh, he said, Hayakum Allah, greeting everyone, Barakallahu Feekum. And he said, the topic of today's lecture, he said, is a very important matter, and it's a great matter. Something that no Muslim male or female can ignore, and there is no Muslim male or Muslim female except that they need it. And he said, I believe that they need it more than they need food and drink. And he said, this issue is a question. How does a person strive against their soul? How does a person strive against their nafs? He said, this is a question that comes to the mind of every believing male and believing female. He said, and the answer, the jawab, is sahal, is easy for the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes it easy for. And he said, before we answer this question, we have to mention a muqaddima, an introduction, which is a madkhal, which is a premise for the lecture, and likewise a miftah, a key to this talk, a foreword. He said, I say that in the introduction. He said, the souls are three types. The souls are of three types. Al-mutma'inna, the content soul, the soul that is in a state of tranquility. Al-lawwama, the second, the reproaching soul. Naam, and the third, that soul which is ammara bisu, that incites and encourages towards evil. So there are three souls: the mutma'inna, the soul that is content; the lawama, the reproaching soul; and the ammara, the one that commands and incites to evil. As for the mutma'inna, the soul which is content, he said, then this is the soul that is munshariha. It is content and it is tranquil and at ease. بِفِعْلِ كُلِّ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. It is at ease and it is content to implement everything that Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger commands with, in قِيَادًا تَامًا, with total submittance and obedience. And likewise, this soul, النفس المطمئنة, is content and happy to abandon everything Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this manner, this soul draws closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Likewise, النفس المطمئنة believes everything that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has informed of, and likewise His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with total acceptance. Likewise, this soul, it hopes to attain nearness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and this soul has no doubt concerning any of this. He said, "An-nafs al-mutma'inna, the content soul, is something that we find mentioned in the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He said, O soul that is content and in a state of tranquility, return to your Lord. Likewise, this soul, the soul that is mutma'inna, the angel of death calls out to it, as Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala informs us, O content soul, exit and leave out to the forgiveness from your Lord and His pleasure. And this is an-nafs al-mutma'inna, the content, tranquil soul. Naam, so it is said to the pious, again, the first ayah, O content soul that is in a state of satisfaction and pleasure, return back to your Lord, well pleased and well pleasing unto Him. The second type of soul is al-nafs al-lawama, the self-reproaching soul, talumu sahibaha, which blames and censors the individual. It blames and it censors the individual for abandoning what he should actually implement, or doing what he should stay away from. Why have you done this? Why did you not do this? And the Shaykh, he said, هَذِهِ قَرِيبَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, this soul is closer to good. And he said, العلاج, the treatment for this soul, the self-reproaching soul, is easy. The treatment for this soul, النفس اللوامة, is easy. And the Shaykh, he said, this soul is mentioned in the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, لا أقسم بيوم القيامة, I swear by the day of resurrection, ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة, and I swear by the self-reproaching soul. The third soul, and the Shaykh, he said, هذا, this soul, هذه أشد النفوس, that this is the most severe of the three, and it is an enemy to the person, and it is the scout of the devil, and that which the devil tries to manipulate and utilize against the person is النفس الأمارة بالسوء, the soul that incites somebody, a person, to do evil. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned this in His book, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when He said, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ, indeed the soul, it incites a person to do evil. So He said, know, O my sons and daughters in America, that to answer this question, how does a person strive against their soul? Naam, it can be done with a general answer and then also a detailed answer. And we'll mention the general answer first. The general answer is that a person striving against his soul has four maratib, four levels. The first, al-ilm, knowledge. The second is acting upon that knowledge. The third is calling to it, giving da'wah, calling to Allah. And the fourth is being patient upon the harm encountered. تفضل يا شيخنا.
استنبطها ابن القيم رحمه الله من سورة العصر. وأنا أحكيها لكم بالمعنى وأعلق بما يسر الله لي. المرتبة الأولى هي مرتبة العلم، والعلم عند أهل الإسلام هو العلم الشرعي الذي هو فقه الكتاب الكريم وفقه سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على وأساس السلف الصالح. والسلف الصالح هم كل من مضى بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على أثره، على سنته. وأساس السلف الصالح هم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، ثم أئمة التابعين مثل مجاهد بن جبر وسعيد بن المسيب ومن بعدهم مثل مالك والشافعي وأحمد والحمادين وسائر أهل العلم والإيمان في القرون المفضلة الثلاثة التي شهد لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بالخيرية في أحاديث صح بها النقل عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم، ومنها قوله خير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلون. فالعلم الشرعي هو سبيل السعادة الدائمة التامة للعبد في دنياه وآخرته. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. ومفهوم هذا أن من لا يرد الله به خيرا لا يفقه في الدين، يحجب عنه الهداية. والعلم الشرعي بني وبناتي في أمريكا به يعرف المرء الحلال من الحرام والهدى من الضلال والسنة من البدعة والكفر من الإيمان. فبقدر ما يتحصل المرء عليه من هذا العلم الذي هو العلم الشرعي، وقد عرفناه. دقيقة يا شيخ حسن، دقيقة.
نعم يا شيخ.
والله يدلنا عليه. أقول: وبقدر ما يموت المرء من هذا العلم الشرعي
فإنه يفوته حظه من الهدى ودين الحق. المرتبة الثانية مرتبة العمل، والمراد به العمل الصالح كما قال تعالى: إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات. وجاء ذكر العمل الصالح في آيات كثيرة من القرآن الكريم، وها هنا لا بد من أمرين. الأمر الأول: كيف كان العمل الصالح؟ هو المرتبة الثانية من مراتب جهاد النفس. والجواب: لأن العمل هو ثمرة وهو زكاته، فعلم عمل كشجرة بلا ثمر، بل ترك العمل بل ترك العالم العمل الصالح هذا حجة عليه يوم القيامة. وإلى هذا الإشارة بقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: والقرآن حجة لك أو عليه. وفي الصحيحين وغيرهما من حديث أسامة بن زيد رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: يجتمع أهل النار على رجل تندلق أقتابه أو أقتاب بطنه هي أمعاؤه، يدور فيها كما يدور الحمار في الرحى، فيقول: أي فلان، ما لك؟ ألم تكن تأمرنا بالمعروف وتنهانا عن المنكر؟ فيقول: بلى، كنت آمركم بالخير ولا آتي، وأنهاكم عن الشر وآتي. انظروا شدة عقوبة هذا الرجل، عالم لم يعمل بعلمه، يخالف فعله علمه. ثم الترجمة، ونعود إليكم إن شاء الله تعالى.
جزاكم الله خير.
تفضل.
نعم شيخ.
So the Sheikh Hafidh Allah Ta'ala, he continued by saying, he said, Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he derived these four levels of striving against the soul from Surah Al-Asr, that great surah from the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He said, and I'll convey to you the meaning of the words of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, along with some commentary that Allah Azza wa Jalla makes easy for me. So the first level of striving against the soul is knowledge. And knowledge, al-ilm, is referring to al-ilm al-shara'i, knowledge of the religion, knowledge of the Quran, the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the understanding of ماذا, the understanding of the Salaf. And the Salaf are everyone that came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who are upon the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And at the head of them is the foundation of the Salaf, or the head of the Salaf are the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Imams of the Tabi'een, the Imams of the students of the companions, like Mujahid ibn Jabr, like Sa'id ibn Musayyib, and then after them, the likes of Imam Ahmad and Al-Shafi'i and the two Hammads and others from amongst the three praiseworthy generations who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam testified to their uprightness. As comes in the authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the khair al-nas, the best generation, is my generation, and then those who come after them, and then those who come after them. So al-ilm al-shara'i, knowledge of the religion, is the way to attain a sa'ada, a da'ima, consistent and permanent happiness. Happiness of this world and happiness of the hereafter. Happiness of this world and happiness of the hereafter is attained through beneficial knowledge. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the authentic hadith, whoever Allah azza wa jalla wants good for, he gives him understanding of the religion. So this is the wording of the hadith. As for the understanding of the hadith, then if Allah Azza wa Jal does not want good for an individual, he withholds from him understanding of the religion. He withholds from him understanding of the religion. So, knowledge of the religion, Islamic knowledge, allows a person to know the difference between halal, lawful, and haram, that which is forbidden. Knowledge of the religion allows a person to know the difference between al-huda, guidance, and misguidance, al-dalal. It knows a person to know the difference between a sunnah and bid'ah. It allows a person to differentiate between kufr, disbelief, and iman, and faith. And depending upon the amount of knowledge that a person misses out on or lacks, nam, that will be, then he will also miss out on the same portion accordingly of guidance. So the amount of knowledge that a person lacks, likewise they will be deprived of a similar portion of guidance. So that was the first level of striving against the soul. The second level, al-martabat al-thaniya, is righteous actions, al-amal al-salih. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is found in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning being, except those who believe and do righteous actions. Except those who believe and after those who believe and do righteous actions. And righteous actions, al-amal al-salih, have been mentioned in many, many, many verses of the Quran. If somebody was to ask, why has righteous actions been mentioned after knowledge of the religion? Why, if somebody was to ask, why has righteous actions been mentioned after knowledge of the religion as it pertains to the levels of striving against the soul? The Shaykh, he said, because al-amal al-salih, al-amal, righteous actions, they are the fruits of knowledge, thamrat al-ilm. Righteous actions are the fruits of knowledge, and it is the zakat of knowledge. Actions are the zakat of knowledge. And al-ilm bila amal, knowledge without action is like a tree, kashajara, without any fruits. To have knowledge without action, without acting upon that knowledge, is like a tree that is void of fruit. So the one
who has knowledge, the alim, but he doesn't act upon his knowledge, then that knowledge is a proof against him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he pointed to this ikhwan when he said, as comes in the authentic hadith, Al-Quran hujja lak wa alayk, that the Quran is a proof for you or against you. And he said, likewise, there comes in the hadith, which is found in al-Sahihain, in al-Bukhari, a Muslim, from the hadith of Usam ibn Zayd, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that يَجْتَمِعُ أَهْلَ النَّارِ, the people of the hellfire, they will gather around an individual whose intestines in the hellfire, whose intestines are hanging out. The people of the hellfire will gather around an individual whose intestines are hanging out of his body. And they will say to him, oh so and so, did you not used to enjoin us with the good and forbid us from evil? And this person whose intestines is, yani, the intestines of his body are hanging out in the hellfire, he will say, yes, certainly I enjoined upon you the good, but I did not used to perform it. And I forbade you from evil, but I used to actually partake and do it myself. So this individual will say, yes, I enjoined the good upon you, but I didn't do it myself. And I forbade you from evil, but I didn't stay away from it. Rather, I used to do it. So the Shaykh, he said, look how severe the punishment is for the one who is an alim, he has knowledge, but he didn't act upon that knowledge, and rather his actions opposed the knowledge that he possessed. Naam, tafadhal ya Shaykhana.
أما الأمر الثاني فهو سؤال مهم جدا، وذلكم السؤال ما العمل الصالح؟ والجواب العمل الصالح هو ما جمع شرطين. الشرط الأول تجريد الإخلاص لله وحده. الشرط الثاني تجريد المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. سئل الفضيل بن عياض رحمه الله عن قوله تعالى ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا، قال أخلصه وأصوبه. قيل يا أبا علي ما أخلصه وما أصوبه؟ قال أن يكون خالصا لله صوابا على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه. فالإخلاص لله يا أبنائي ومتابعة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم متلازمان، لا ينفك أحدهما عن الآخر. قال علماؤنا العمل إن فقد الإخلاص لله كان شركا أو رياء، وإن فقد المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان بدعة. ومتى جمع العمل الإخلاص لله والمتابعة لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان عمل أهل السنة. وأنبئكم يا بني وبناتي في أمريكا ومن يصل إليه حديثي عبر مسجد السنة النبوية في فيلادلفيا من أمريكا أن أهل البدع يفصلون في الإخلاص تفصيلا عجيبا، وأما السنة فهم فيها قسمان، قسم يغفلها البتة ولا يذكرها، وإن ذكرها فقليل جدا، والقسم الثاني من يذكرها على سبيل الإجمال ولا يفصلونها، لأنهم لو فصلوا في السنة وبينوا مكانتها من العمل وأنها شر لضاعت تجارتهم، ضاعت تبوظ تجارتهم ويكشف أمرهم لكل ذي فهم وبصيرة. وأما أهل السنة فإنهم يفصلون في الإخلاص وفي المتابعة لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، حتى يستقيم حال الناس على السبيل القويم فيما يتقربون به إلى الله عز وجل من صالح الأمة. وقال علماؤنا كذلك الأعمال أربعة أقسام، أحدها ما كان خالصا لله موافقا للسنة، الثاني ما كان خالصا لله غير موافق للسنة، الثالث ما كان موافقا للسنة غير خالص لله، الرابع ما كان غير خالص لله وغير موافق للسنة. وأنا أسألكم يا أهل المسجد، أي الأعمال أي الأقسام الأربعة مقبول عند الله ولماذا؟ ترجم السؤال وسألهم.
نعم شيخ. So the Sheikh Ikhwani asked you a question. He said, after he said, يا شيخ وترجم القطعة حتى يفهموا يعني الأقسام الأعمال الله يبارك فيكم. So the Sheikh, he said that he said, for example, the scholars of the Sunnah, they say that actions are of four types. He said the first, those actions that are done with sincerity and according to the Sunnah. He said the second, those actions that are done with sincerity but not according to the Sunnah. The third, those actions which are done according to the Sunnah but they lack sincerity. The fourth, those actions which they're not done with sincerity and they're not done according to the Sunnah. So the Sheikh said he has a question for the people in the masjid, which category of actions are accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So he's asking you, which category? Huh? Naam, why? So he wants to know also why. نعم قالوا يا شيخ يعني القسم الأول لأن يعني توفر في هذه الأعمال الشرطان الإخلاص والمتابعة. نعم
تمام أحسنتم، نقول لهم قولي أحسنتم
شيخ سوادنا جزاكم الله خيرا. ترجم يا شيخ.
So the Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he continued, he said, there's also an important question, and this is, yani, what is considered to be a righteous action? What is considered to be al-amal al-salih? He said, a righteous action is an action that meets two conditions. The first, تجريد الإخلاص لله تبارك وتعالى, that the action is done sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla alone. The second, تجريد المتابعة, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is followed alone in this action. The sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is followed in this action. So he said, one of the scholars of the past, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad rahimahullah, was asked about the verse in the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the meaning being to see who from amongst you is best in action. So Fudayl was asked, who is best in action? And he responded, that which is the most pure and that which is the most correct. So they said to him, oh Abu Ali, what is the meaning of that action which is the most pure? He said, it is referring to that action which is done khalisa lillah, which is done sincerely for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as for that action which is most correct, it is that action which is done in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all sons and daughters, al-ikhlas, sincerity, and al-mutaba'ah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are two conditions that are they're connected. You can't separate one from the other. And the ulama, the sheikh, he said, our scholars, they mention, if for example, ikhlas is lacking, then this is considered to be shirk, showing off. So if ikhlas is missing from an action, then that is considered to be shirk, or showing off. He said, if the action is missing, sunnah, it's not in accordance to the sunnah, then our scholars, they say that this is a bid'ah. And when you find the action is done with sincerity, and in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this is the action of the people of the sunnah, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. He said, and I point out something important, oh my sons and daughters, in the USA, Masjid al-Sunnah al-Nabawiyyah, in the city of Philadelphia, and likewise, anyone who is listening to this lecture, from my sons and my daughters, he said, Ahlul Bid'ah, when they talk about ikhlas, they talk about sincerity in detail. They elaborate on it. They talk about sincerity in great detail. However, when talking about following the sunnah, you have some of them, they don't mention it at all. Naam, or if they mention it, it's only occasionally. And you have some of the people of bid'ah, if they talk about following the sunnah, they mention it in a vague and ambiguous, unclear manner. Why do they do this? Why do you find that the people of bid'ah, when they talk about sincerity, they talk about in detail, great length. But when they talk about following the sunnah, some of them, they don't talk about it at all, or if they do, it's only on occasions. And those who talk about it, they talk about it vaguely in an ambiguous way. He said, because if they explain that it's a condition to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, naam, then the innovation that they are upon, it will become clear to anyone who has understanding. Naam. And that is why Ahl al-Sunnah, when they talk about sincerity, they explain it in detail. And when they talk about mutaba'ah, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they explain it in detail so that the people can be upon uprightness, on the straight path, upon actions that will bring them closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And likewise, he said, وقال علماؤنا, our scholars have mentioned, and again this is the point that he asked the question about, they say that actions are four types. Those actions with, which are done with sincerity and in accordance to the sunnah. And those, the second type, those actions which are done with sincerity and not according to the sunnah. The third type, those actions which are done according to the sunnah without sincerity. And the fourth type, those actions which are done which lack sincerity and they are not in accordance to the sunnah. And the Sheikh said the only type that will be accepted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala are those actions which are done in accordance to the sunnah and which are done sincerely to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. نعم يا شيخنا تفضل.
أقول فيكم من جمع الله له بين هاتين المرتبتين فقد شاء في تكميل نفسه وأعدها لما يحبه الله ويرضى وسلك سبيل الصالحين فالمرتبة الثالثة مرتبة الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل وهذه هي التي ذكرها الله عز وجل في قوله وتواصوا بالحق والمعنى أن هؤلاء المؤمنين يوصي بعضهم بعضا بالحق والحق ضد الباطل فأعظم الحق عند الله عز وجل هو التوحيد ثم من بعد سائر الطاعات من فرائض ومندوبة وأبطل الباطل وأعظم الباطل الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى ثم سائر المعاصي ومنها البدع واسمعوا في الدليل واسمعوا في أدلة ذلك واسمعوا أدلة ذلك من الكتاب والسنة فمن الكتاب الكريم قوله تعالى وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون وقوله تعالى ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت فهاتان الآيتان وما في معناهما من القرآن الكريم وهو كثير جدا لا يحصى دليل على أن جميع الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام ملة النوح أولهم إلى محمد خاتمهم متفقون على أن أصل الدين وأساسه هو عبادة الله وحده ونبذ الشرك قال الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وأصل الدين وأساسه أمران الأول الدعاء إلى عبادة الله وحده والتحريض على ذلك والموالاة فيه وتكفير من تركه يعني ترك التوحيد. الثاني التحذير من الشرك في عبادة الله والتغليب في ذلك والمعاداة فيه وتكفير من تعب. ثم ماذا معاشر المسلمين والمسلمات من سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ اعلموا أن السنة في هذا الباب متواترة تواترا معنويا يوجب العلم والعمل، ولهذا فإني أقتصر على حديث واحد أخرج أحمد ومسلم من حديث عبد الرحمن بن عبد رب الكعبة عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إنه لم يكن نبي قبلي إلا كان حقا عليه أن يدل أمته على خير ما يعلمه له وأن ينذرهم شر ما يعلمه له. الحديث وله قصة. فأعظم ما يعلم من الخير ويجب أن يدعى الناس إليه هو توحيد الله، عبادة الله الخالصة. ثم سائر الطاعات من فرائض مثل الصلوات الخمس والزكاة صيام رمضان وحج البيت لمن استطاع إليه سبيلا وبر الوالدين وصلة الرحم وإفشاء السلام غير ذلك من الأعمال. وشر ما ينذر منه ويحذر منه الشرك في عبادة الله سبحانه وتعالى مثل الذبح لغير الله والنذر لغير الله وعبادة المقبورين ودعاء غير الله والاستغاثة بالأموات وغير ذلك من المعاصي ومنها البدع وفي بدعة المولد وغير ذلك وحدة الوجود والتجهم وبدعة الأشاعرة وغير ذلك من البدع والمعاصي مثل قطيعة الرحم وعقوق الوالدين وهي كثيرة ومعروفة. الناس فالمسلمون ولله الحمد مما فطرهم الله عليه من الفطرة السليمة تعرفون الطاعة والمعصية. هذا ما يتعلق بالمرتبة الثالثة التي هي الدعوة إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. فأي داعية يسلك هذا السبيل فهو أمر الناس بتوحيد الله وما يتبعه من الطاعات ونهيهم عن الشرك بالله وسائر المعاصي ومنها البدع هذا هو داعية الحق والبصيرة. ومن عدا ومن دعا الناس إلى غير ذلك فهو إما جاهل وإما صاحب هوى منحرف يريد أن يصرف الناس عما جاءت به النبيون والمرسلون من لدن نوح أولهم إلى محمد خاتمهم صلى الله وسلم عليهم أجمعين. فعليكم معاشر المؤمنين والمؤمنات بدعاة الحق والبصيرة، خذوا عنهم العلم والفقه في دين الله وناصروهم وتعاونوا معهم على البر والتقوى، واصبروا على مجالستهم والسعي إلى حضور دروسهم ومحاضراتهم، فإن هذا مما أخبر عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا. وترجم يا شيخ
أسد. الله يبارك فيكم، جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ. نعم سيد الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى. He continued. He said that the third martaba, the third level of striving against the soul, is الدعوة, calling to Allah تبارك وتعالى. And this is found in the saying of Allah تبارك وتعالى: وتواصوا بالحق. And they advise one another with the truth. He said this means that the believers, na'am, the believers, they advise one another with the haqq. And he said the haqq, the truth, is the opposite of falsehood. The truth is the opposite of mother of falsehood. And the greatest of truth is tawheed. The greatest of truth is tawheed. Then after that, the other righteous actions from the commands and the recommended deeds. Wa abtal al batil, the greatest of falsehood, the most severe form of falsehood, is a shirk. And then the rest of the forms of disobedience, and from them is innovation. Bid'ah. And he said, listen to the proofs and the evidences for this from the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there are many. He said, and there are so many that we will only mention a few. He said, for example, from the book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the ayah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ, and we have not sent before you a messenger except that we reveal to him that none has the right to be worshipped except me, so worship me alone. And the ayah, the meaning being, and to every nation we sent to them a messenger commanding them to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla alone and stay far away from the false deities, to abandon the false deities. These two verses, they show, and there are many similar verses in the Quran that so many that we can't elaborate upon all of them. These two verses, they show, and likewise the other verses which are similar in the book of Allah, that all of the prophets and all of the messengers, from the first of the messengers, which was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, to the seal of the messengers, which was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, all of them call to the foundation, one foundation, which is to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone. And they warned against a shirk, and they rejected all forms of shirk. And Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, he said that the foundation and the basis of the religion is two things. The foundation of the religion and the basis of the religion is two things. The first, calling to the worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alone without any partners, encouraging and directing the people to this, and showing allegiance based upon this tawheed, and making takfir, declaring the one who abandons tawheed to be a disbeliever. The second matter, warning against shirk, and disassociating based upon this, and declaring anyone who commits this shirk to be a disbeliever. He said, likewise, from the proofs of, from the sunnah, and there are so many evidences from the sunnah that they reach the level of a tawatur, meaning a tawatur ma'nawiyan, meaning there are so many narrations in terms of the meaning, where all of the meanings, all of the meanings agree upon the same thing. And there are so many narrations that no doubt it establishes certainty and necessitates action. From them, the hadith that was narrated by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, innahu lam yakun nabiyyun qabli, there was never a prophet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was never a prophet before me, except illa kana haqqan alayhi, except that it was compulsory for him to direct his nation to everything good that he knew for them, and to warn them against everything evil that he knew may afflict them. So good is the basis of good is tawheed. And likewise, the rest of the righteous actions, from the obligations and the recommended actions, the obligations like the five daily prayers, fasting, the month of Ramadan, the zakat, the hajj, na'am, respecting the parents, and so on and so forth. Warning against evil, warning against evil, the evil of shirk, committing shirk in the worship of Allah, like al-dhabh li ghayri Allah, sacrificing to other than Allah, another, a vow, making vows to other than Allah, al-dua li ghayri Allah, supplicating to other than Allah, likewise al-istighatha bil amwat, seeking rescue from the dead, and also evil innovations, al-bid'ah, like Mawlid al-Nabi, celebrating the Prophet's birthday, Wahdat al-Wujud, that false and corrupt belief of disbelief that everything is Allah and Allah is everything. Likewise, the belief of the deviant sect of the Jahmiyyah, al-Tajahum. Likewise, evil, all of the other forms of disobedience. So this is the third level of striving against the soul. المرتبه الثالثه, which is what, calling to Allah tabaarak wa ta'ala, giving da'wah, and any caller who walks upon this path, calling to tawheed, calling to the other righteous actions, the commands and the recommended acts, warning against shirk, warning against bid'ah, warning against disobedience, these are the callers that call to Allah azza wa jalla upon knowledge. These are the callers that call to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon knowledge, upon insight. As for the one who calls to other than this, then the Shaykh said, either he is jahil, he is an ignoramus, or he is a person of desires. And he wants to divert the people from the path of the prophets and the messengers. The first of the messengers being Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, and the last of them being Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is upon you, O my sons and daughters, that you cling to the callers who call to Allah upon knowledge and upon understanding. That they call to tawheed and they warn against shirk, they call to the sunnah and they warn against innovation, they call to obedience, they warn against disobedience. It's upon you that you cling to them, you take knowledge from them, that you support them, that you cooperate with them, and you are patient in attending their lessons and their lectures. And that you be with them. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-mu'min lil-mu'min, the believer to the relationship of the believer to the believer is like that of a structure. Part of it supports the other. Naam, tafadhali ya shaykhana, jazakum allah khairan.
Al-martabatu al-rabi'ah al-sabr. Wal-maqsood الصبر على أذى المخالفين، لا الصبر على المخالفة. وقد سمعت قاعدة يطلقها بعض المنتسبين إلى العلم يقول: لماذا لا يصبر بعضنا على بعض؟ لماذا لا يصبر؟ لماذا لا نصبر على المخالفات بيننا أو نحو هذا؟ وهذا خطأ ومنكر، وهي قاعدة ضالة. يريد المبتدعة من خلالها تهوين البدعة والتقليل من شأنها، وهي مخالفة كذلك لهدي النبيين، ومخالفة لهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم خاصة. فإنه أقام بمكة 13 سنة يؤذيه المشركون فيصبر على أذاهم، خنقوه وضربوه وألقوا واضطر صلى الله عليه وسلم السفر إلى الطائف لما لقي من أذى قومه، فأذاه أهل الطائف فرجع إلى مكة. وأما مخالفات قومه فإنه لم يصبر عليه، لم يسكت، بل كان ينكرها، ينهى عن، يأمر بالتوحيد وينهى عن الشرك، يأمر بصلة الرحم وينهى عن قطع عهدها. وكذلك السلف الصالح من الصحابة ومن بعدهم من أهل العلم والإمامة في الدين لا يتركون المخالفة تنتشر في الناس، بل يردونها بالدليل من الكتاب والسنة. مستدلين بهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، واعلموا أيها المسلمون أن كل من نصب نفسه للدعوة على بصيرة وهدى من الله يفقه الناس في دين الله، يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر، لا بد أن يصيبه من الأذى كما أصاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو يكثر ويقل زمانا ومكانا. فمن صبر على أذى المدعوين وقوي بالسنة وأظهر الحق ودعا إليه بحكمة وموعظة حسنة بلغ دين الله الناس في دين الله وأقام الحجة على المخالفين. هذا ما يسر الله سبحانه وتعالى من الحديث في هذا الموضوع المهم وهذه المسألة العظيمة وهي مراتب جهاد النفس. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يعيننا وإياكم على التمسك بالسنة وإظهارها والدعوة إليها والتثبيت عليها في القول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
شكر الله مساعدكم.
So the Sheikh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he continued by saying the last level of striving against this, the nafs, the soul, is to be patient upon the harm that is encountered from the people upon deviation, the deviants, those who are upon error, the mukhalifin, to be patient with the harm that is encountered or the harm that a person receives or is faced with from the mukhalifin, those who are upon error or upon deviation. Not that some people misunderstand this. This is not referring to be patient upon error itself. No. To be patient upon a khata. No. Being patient upon the harm that is received, na'am, or encountered from the mukhalifin, the people of deviation, or the people of misguidance. Not being patient upon error. Because some people, they say, why don't we be patient with one another when people are upon error? People are upon deviation. Why don't we be patient upon one another when we're upon error? And the Sheikh said, this is wrong. This is a khata. This is a munkar. This statement is an evil itself. And this is a false yani principle. Because we're not patient with error. No. We're patient with the harm that we encounter from those who are upon error. He said, and the people of innovation, they say this, to be patient with error, yani to take away from the severity of innovation, to belittle this, yani the danger of innovation. And in reality, this statement, to be patient with error, is in opposition to the guidance of all of the prophets in general, and specifically Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in Mecca for 13 years. He was harmed by the mushrikeen. They strangled him. Occasions he was strangled. He was harmed by them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif. We know, ikhwan, that they stoned the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was patient with the harm he encountered from the people, but he was not patient, yani, in terms of patient with the error. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to warn against error. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to warn against error and misguidance and deviation. We find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always command with tawheed and warn against shirk. He would warn against severing family ties, and he would command with keeping the family ties. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never be patient with error, meaning not yani warning against it. And the Salaf likewise, following the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Salaf from the companions and those that came after them, they didn't remain silent when faced with errors. They were never silent about errors and deviation. Rather, they used to refute it based upon the proofs from the book and the sunnah, relying upon the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh said, no, O Muslims, everyone who puts themselves or everyone who gives da'wah based upon knowledge and guidance from Allah and teaches the people the religion of Allah and enjoins the good and forbids the evil must be harmed. They will definitely be harmed. Everyone who gives da'wah based upon knowledge and guidance from Allah and enjoins the good and forbids the evil, teaches the people, they must be harmed. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was harmed. Sometimes the harm is severe, other times it is not as severe. And this varies from time and place. Whoever is patient with the harm of the deviants and is firm upon the sunnah and makes the truth clear and calls to it with wisdom and good admonition, then they are upon the straight path, the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And these are the people who have understanding, and they teach the people, and they establish the proof against those who have deviated from the truth. He said, this is what was possible or easy for me to mention with regards to this topic of striving against the soul. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He aid us and you to hold on to the sunnah, to implement it. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us with a firm word in this life and the hereafter. And then the Sheikh he gave salams. Naam. Mubarakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. Naam, inshallah ta'ala, ikhwan, we continue Kitab al-Tawheed after Salat al-Maghrib.